This message from Jesus is much about the heart. Jesus was speaking to new disciples. He was clearing the way for personal and religious reform. He was not eliminating the Jewish system, but he wanted his followers to understand what was really necessary to live in and for his kingdom. He is more interested in our internal piety than our religious ritual. He wants to know what's going on inside us, and he wants that to be right. His introduction to this message that we call the Beatitudes lay out a progressive summary of how to be kingdom people. And even in summary form, it's very challenging. We know God's blessing when we are right with him at every level. And throughout this teaching, there is a message of reward. Throughout, it mentions reward, and throughout Matthew even. But it's not a reward of money or power. Our reward is in his identity. It is intrinsic to being the right kind of people. Our rightness with God is also connected to our relationships with other people. We are to be merciful. We are to be peacemakers. We are not to retaliate. We should love our enemies. This is how we continue to be preserving salt and bright light in a rotting and dark world. And Jesus specifically said that he did not come to dismantle the law of Moses, but to fulfill it. And then he gave us those six examples that we covered in chapter 5 that are concerned with our heart, our true motivation. Not committing murder meets the letter of the law. But Jesus said, do not harbor anger, which is the beginning of murder. He's concerned if we are letting our minds dwell on indecent behavior because it will set us up to act that way. He said the value of our word must match his faithfulness if we are to represent him well. Our justice system should be right with his. We learn in chapter 6 that our religious practices must also reflect the kingdom accurately. That's what he turns to here, is the outward religious practice. And the religious system of his day and his people needed reform. There were three pillars of Jewish religious life that were universally understood among the Hebrew people of Jesus' day. Almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Now, almsgiving means giving to those in need. And you know what prayer and fasting means, right? Jesus addressed all three of these spiritual disciplines, as we call them, so that his followers would know exactly what he wants and how to practice these things. And we find again that he's concerned about our motives, not just our public action. In fact, our public action, if wrong, will negate any other good. And we are only going to take the first one of the three today, giving. Matthew 6, verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, the first verse that we read there gives the bottom line for all three religious practices that he mentioned. Do not perform religion in a way to receive praise from men. That's not what it's about. If being recognized by other people is your motivation for religion, then you're missing the true reward from your Heavenly Father. Should we even consider reward for proper living? Should we do it for reward? Should we not just be totally deprived of reward in order to have the right motivation or in order to be pure? Well, Jesus freely spoke of punishment and reward. And throughout Matthew, he mentions reward. However, he was not promoting monetary reward. He was not promoting power to control people. He was not promoting recognition from onlookers. The reward is in the doing and the being kingdom-like people. Notice that verse 2 assumes that God's people will give to those who are in need. It's not a command. He's saying, when you give, do it this way. And don't do it that way. Now, back in chapter 5, verse 42, we're told to give to those who ask, who are in need. And again, this is ancient Hebrew value. This had been part of Jewish fabric since Moses. Let me show you. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy 15, that's way back in that's the second reading of the law from Moses. Deuteronomy 15 and verse 7. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. Now, that part about the seventh year, you will remember that God instituted, he gave Moses this system of Sabbaths, and the Sabbath or the seventh year, several things were supposed to happen. Land was to go back to its original owner. Debts were canceled. It was a wonderful welfare system, and it would have worked. It didn't last long. But that's what Moses was talking about. He said, if someone comes to you in the sixth year and wants to borrow, don't be thinking, well, I'm not going to lend you anything because next year it'll be canceled. Before you can pay it off, it'll be canceled. He said, don't think that way. Just be generous. Give generously. And we find that principle throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. Back to Matthew 6. I want to ask you three questions this morning. Why are we giving? How are we giving? And to whom or what are we giving? Now, the first question I reckon is the most important. Why? Why do you give? Some people give out of a sense of duty. They just feel like they will disappoint God or not receive His blessing if they do not give. It's not particularly out of joy or generosity, but simply out of obligation. Now listen, duty is helpful. It's a good beginning. Duty often gets us into the right kind of patterns that we need. It's instructive. It's a good place to start, but it's not always the best motivation. Giving to avoid God's judgment is dangerously close to superstition. Some people give to be noticed, as Jesus pointed out. They want other people to see their work. You know, they want other people to see how generous they are. A matter of prestige. And you see this played out in many places and in many ways. Here we have not made a practice of naming buildings and stained glass windows and things for people simply to help avoid that trap. Do not announce your giving with trumpets like the hypocrites do. That might sting a little. Can you think of any modern equivalents to trumpet blowing? How about the phrase blowing his own trumpet? We find ways, don't we? We may not have trumpeters at the door, but we find ways. Now, some people give in order to receive. In other words, they believe that if they give to someone or to some cause, they will receive more in return. I heard a short sermon on that once. If God can get it through you, He will get it to you. Oh, it's preach is good. It's just kind of selfish theology. Giving in order to get more. Sometimes that works, but if that's your motivation, you might be Buddhist or Hindu. Because you're counting on good luck or karma. Others simply give to meet a need. They believe in the cause. They see the need to help, and they receive joy from giving. It's an internal drive. It's who they are. It's a heart decision, not blindly, but ultimately out of love for God and love for His people. For believers, the Holy Spirit inspires us to give and directs us to the right person and the right cause, the right organization. And there is kingdom value. We may not ever know the results of that kind of giving. If your name's not put on the building or flashed across the screen, you may not ever know the results. But you know it's the right thing to do. And you may never be known for it outside of heaven. Will there be future reward in heaven for how we live here on earth? I think that's what Jesus is saying throughout this message. There is reward here and now and in glory. The second question, how are we giving? Now, I'm not talking about if you write a check or put cash in the basket or do it on your phone. I'm not concerned with the actual method that you use to transmit. I'm not even concerned this morning. I'm not going to suggest to you a certain percentage, but I simply want to point out what Jesus said. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do not let your giving be for the attention of other people or even for your own pride and gratification. Make sense? Be quiet about it and let it be between you and God. Can you imagine having trumpeters blow their horns and to bring attention to your offering? If we had some trumpeters here and you came to the front and dropped the money in where it made a lot of noise and they blew the trumpets. Have you ever been in a church where you had to file down the center aisle and go? Everybody had to go to the front and put their offering in? And man, you talk about some pressure. You at least need to tap the bottom of it and let it jingle, you know. Or can you imagine a production like a play in the manner of your giving? And that's what Jesus was talking about when he mentioned hypocrites, false faces. That's what the actors did in their day. They would put on a mask to represent a character, pretending to be someone they were not. Jesus said, don't give like a hypocrite. I don't think any of you would ever put on a production like that to accentuate your generosity, would you? Nah, we're more clever than that. We're more subtle. We know how to feign humility while our name is displayed quietly across the screen. The Father always knows our motivation. He always knows our hearts. Verse 4 says, He will reward you. You do not have to know how or when. You can count on Him. You can trust Him. He will reward you. It may be with joy. It may be salvation. Meeting your needs. It may be giving you more opportunities to bless people. When you're faithful to bless people, He will give you more opportunities to do so, and He will give you the means to do it. How about a room in His mansion? That might be a good blessing. No, there's no might. It will be. You can trust Him. And while not the main point of Jesus' lesson here, let me briefly address the last question. To whom or to what should we give? Now, the assumption of verse 2 is that the giving is to the needy, to the people who need help. But there was a system within the synagogue to pool money and then redistribute it to those in need. In Acts 6, we find the appointment of the deacons in the early Christian church for that very reason, so that the giving was done equally and rightly. They were in a system of tithing, giving a 10% of everything they produced back to the synagogue. Now, today there are countless ways to give to kingdom work. There are even non-Christian charities that are doing lots of good. Not all of them are good. Not everything with a religious name is good. But there are many, many ways. Now, Baptists have a tradition of cooperatively giving to help fund ministry and mission work and to help meet the needs of people. And this happens at the local church level. It happens at the state level and nationally and internationally. But there are also many non-Baptist and non-denominational mission agencies who are completely commendable and doing kingdom work. We have visitors here today who did a 30 years almost with Campus Crusade. And that's one of the best ministries on the planet for sharing Jesus and knowing how to share Jesus. Lots and lots of, in fact, there are so many good organizations and causes that no one person can fund them well. And so we need to let the Lord guide us. We need to pray and ask the Spirit to guide us. To whom or what and how should we be giving? He will guide you. Now, I believe that we should all give to the local church where we participate. It should be a direct effort to support gospel ministry in our home and to help people who need help. Now, if we were taking up offering only to build fancy things or make the preacher fatter, then it would be wrong. If we are not being responsible and accountable to God with what you give, then may God instruct us and correct us. Another example of a mission offering that I should have mentioned 2 weeks ago at the beginning of September is called the Mary Hill Davis offering, and it is for mission work in Texas. It's orchestrated by Texas Baptist, and anything and everything you give to this offering goes directly to missional work in Texas. It is not spent on administration or office costs or things like that. And starting today, since I missed the right kickoff, starting today we will announce it for today and 3 more Sundays. And back by the offering baskets, there are these envelopes that say, Mary Hill Davis Offering for Texas Missions. And so if you want to designate an offering for that, for Texas Missions, you can do so in that envelope. Or you could, if you're writing a check, you could even just put in the memo field, Mary Hill Davis offering, and we will get it to the right place. There are two other national campaigns that I want to mention, Baptist work. And because now, you old timers know these things. You know, we used to have an organization called WMU, Women's Missionary Union, and they would always keep us on track with these offerings. The next one after this is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and that is to international missions. Goes through the International Mission Board of Southern Baptists. And then at Easter, we have the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, which supports North American mission work. Now, those are official Baptist efforts to cooperate and pool money together to do bigger things than we can do by ourselves. And it's good. It works. But like I said, it's not the only way to give to God's Word. And I could start listing local things even. I keep thinking about On the Way Home Ministries and Young Life and just a myriad of good work. We will from time to time present you with other opportunities, and you no doubt encounter many needs on your own. I want to end today with the Apostle Paul's instruction to some churches in Asia from whom he was collecting an offering to go back to the saints in Jerusalem. They had had famine in and around Jerusalem, and the saints were being persecuted, and it was a hard time there. And so Paul was taking up an offering from some of the Asian churches to go back to Jerusalem. And here's what he wrote to the church at Corinth. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, this would be the appropriate time to pass the offering plate, I suppose. This would be the time to gather up, to capitalize on the moment. Not going to do that this morning. We're going through this Sermon on the Mount. I want you to see what Jesus said about it, and I want you to report to Him. I trust you, and you can trust God. So just do what you need to do. Good enough? Well, let's just call it good enough. Ron, come on up, and y'all, let's sing another song. The offering baskets are at the back doors. We started that when we weren't passing the plates in COVID, and it seems to be working all right. Listen, if you ever have questions about where your money goes that you give here, ask. If I don't know the answer, I'll find it. And we have other people who are in the know on that, so don't wonder about it. Okay, let's stand.